Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
To convince a child to keep walking, try switching roles with them. Let the child play the role of the parent. They'll immediately do what you want them to do.
You are raising in your home people that the Bible is very clear about their status. They need to be converted, not just a conformity of their behavior. They need a transforming encounter with the gospel of Jesus Christ. That is the ultimate priority.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Is your church prepared to be terrorized? Oh, I'm sorry. Did I say terrorized? I meant protested. This is Wretched Radio. Apparently, words can mean whatever you want them to mean. What I saw on Summit Avenue in St. Paul, Minnesota at City's Church, the place where I was sprinkled with water as an infant, by the way, was absolute criminal activity, breaking federal, breaking state laws, and yet we're being told by talking heads, by spokespeople, and by the woman who led the invasion, that this was a legal protest. In fact, Don Lemon said, hey, to the pastor, he said, don't we have the right to assemble and protest? Yeah, you do, but not inside of a privately owned property. And yet they persist in calling it a protest. I'm sorry. That was criminal behavior. And for as long as our culture entertains what happened there as just a protest and doesn't outright condemn it, and if the government officials whose job it is to protect us, this is finally Romans 13, man, this is a clear application of that. No debate amongst Christians. The government needs to protect us. That is their God-ordained job. That is also their constitutional duty. And until they start really exercising their authority, you and I better be talking about preparing for more protests. Protests. They break into the building. They're yelling at people. They're insulting people. And they call that a peaceful protest. Just a conversation. So apparently, I guess really, you know what? Maybe on second thought, we should go with this. Let's go with this just being a peaceful protest protected by the Constitution. Because that would mean then that we can actually go into abortion clinics, make a ruckus, yell at people, shame the doctors, and simply call it a protest. I think that would work. Better yet. For Don Lemon, we can just break into his home, start yelling at him and anybody else that he has there, and we'll just call it a protest. See how that works? I mean, this is so preposterous and so bizarre to me. I'm serious. I'm just waiting for somebody to say, no, and it wasn't a protest either. It was a picnic. You see, Don Lemon had some breath mints in his pocket. That is technically food. So we simply entered the church to have a picnic. All righty then. The knuckleheadery is going to continue. And we're going to have to witness it and cringe and be extremely frustrated by such... It's so juvenile. It's so silly. It's like listening to children defend their behavior that was a violation of a house policy when mom and dad cracks down on them. That's gonna go on. But in the meantime, the question is your church ready? Because there is a reasonable chance that it will happen to your church. You say, how reasonable? This was an article, interestingly enough, a good article by Joe Carter. It was actually titled, What Should Christians Do When Protest Enters the Sanctuary? Joe, that wasn't a protest. He gives the statistics of how often this stuff is happening. Here it is. According to Family Research Council, 383 churches endured a combined total of 415 hostile incidents in 2024. Hostile. No, we were there actually to encourage people. It wasn't aggressive. When we were yelling at them, we were simply trying to help them. Here's the statistics. It included vandalism, arson, armed aggression, and service disruptions. Armed incidents more than doubled from 12 in 2023 to 28 in 2024. To date, 1,384 acts of hostility toward U.S. churches occurred between January 2018 and December 2024. In other words, it's already going on a lot. And until our government says, not a chance, you'll be arrested, you'll have federal charges filed against you, you're going to be fined. Until that happens, we need to talk about what it is we should do as a local church to protect the people who come to worship King Jesus. Received an email. I can't tell you the name of this wretched person, because if I did, the progressives might hear about it, go to his house, break into, protest. to break bread. That's what they're going to. They broke in during dinner time. We were just going to break bread. That's all we were doing. He was actually at City's church on Sunday morning. He offered some details I have not heard elsewhere. Here's what he wrote. Christians have enemies, and those enemies are well-funded, well-organized, and coordinated between different branches of their movement. Here's the deets. The church invaders came in three waves. First, the actual disruptors who barged in yelling and chanting, followed by the independent so-called journalists with cameras to make sure they caught anything on video that might be useful. And then a team of professional so-called journalists who came in last. You mean they weren't just driving down Summit Avenue in St. Paul and they saw a church and went, I wonder if we should just see what's happening inside of there. Oh, look, there's some other people who luckily, that's what they'd say, luckily determined that that church might be of interest to them. Not a chance. They got together and they determined who's going to go in first, who's second wave, who's third wave. Back to our inside source from City's church. All of them were coordinated with each other in the attack. But the journalists all denied being in on the planning of the attack. I spoke with the camera operator, with the professional team, who claimed, insanely, that his crew were not disrupting our service, but were just there to show the world what was going on in our church. What a lucky break, something that actually went on. Oh, how lucky was that journalist? Really, really lucky. As if they had just happened and decided to see what was going on, writes our inside source. Not to mention the insinuation that we at City's Church were the ones who had something to be ashamed of, or something of which to be ashamed, as I suspect you prefer. You're exactly right. That is exactly what I prefer. Not ending a sentence with a preposition. This was a coordinated attack. This was an effort to make a scene so that they could videotape it, so that they could incite more terroristic attacks. This was a coordinated effort. And until somebody, it won't be somebody in Minnesota, we're looking to you, Don, to come down and crack down on this. The Department of Justice, my understanding is Pam Bondi, she actually called the pastor of the church who had his hands full, needless to say. Well, until our government steps in between us, we need to start talking about a plan. And that's the second part of this inside letter I received. Second, churches would be wise to make a plan for what to do when a church invasion occurs. Who would have thought to plan for something like this? The city church elders probably didn't have a meeting to say, hey, just in case Don Lemon shows up yelling and screaming and being utterly juvenile in his comments and representation of the Constitution and Christianity, what should we do? They probably didn't do that, but you should. Your church needs to talk about this. Your elders should get together, deacons, to discuss if this happens in your church, what is the response going to be? Back to the letter. I will say, it's not a good feeling to be taken totally by surprise without any idea about what we should do. There have been many people online who have criticized the lack of forceful vigor on the part of the men of City's Church. I've seen quite a few people claiming that their invaders would be repelled immediately with overwhelming violence. To that, I would suggest that the invaders of our church were intentionally trying to provoke us to violence in hopes of documenting some event that would justify an even greater reaction. I think that's pretty reasonable assessment of the situation. What does your church do? Does your church, I'm not tipping the scale here. I'm just saying, do you arm up? Do you draw the holsters when a disruption takes place? Or does it look more like we saw at the city's church where there was nobody yelling back? There was nobody engaging in tomfoolery. Instead, they simply were gracious. The pastor simply said, you gotta go, which, by the way, is their legal right to do so. Question. Is your church ready? Not for a picnic, not for a protest, but for a terroristic invasion. Next on Wretched Radio.
Let's be honest. You've earned your PhD in couch sitting. You know exactly which cushion has the perfect amount of give. You memorize where the remote lands when you toss it. You are a professional. Well, congratulations. Your expertise just became holy ground. Fortis Plus has officially arrived on your TV. That's right. Your sanctuary of relaxation is now an actual sanctuary. Stream biblical truth without moving a muscle, except maybe your thumb on the remote. Every single resource Fortis Plus produces is now available on that beautiful big screen you justified buying because, well, it was on sale, honey. From your phone to now on your Roku. Samsung, LG, Vizio, Apple TV. Basically, if it has a screen and an internet connection, Fortis Plus is there. It's free to download the app. It's free to stream all of our content, funded by gospel partners who believe your couch time should count for eternity. Go ahead, stay seated, but download Fortis Plus first, because your couch just got promoted.
Perhaps you've been wondering, is there a Christian university that isn't woke? Or that hasn't compromised on important biblical doctrines like, you know, the age of the earth? There is. It's the Masters University in Southern California. Beautiful campus. All of the athletics and activities that you've come to expect from universities. But it's more than that. The academic programs are most excellent, preparing students for the future. The Washington Post just said, number 6 for preparing students for the real world. All that. Plus, the Masters University isn't woke, and it is thoroughly biblical. Would you like to learn more? I encourage you to visit the Masters University at masters.edu/wretched, masters.edu/wretched.
You know what I love about coffee? It's not just the first sip in the morning, though it's pretty great. It's that you can count on it. Every morning, it's there, ready to wake you up and get your day started. And that's exactly what we've built with the Fortis Plus app. It's your daily dose of biblical truth, ready when you are, completely free. Think about it. Every day, the culture is throwing lies at you faster than you can dodge them. Your kids are getting discipled by TikTok, your marriage is under attack, and the world is telling you that up is down and wrong is right. But what if every day you had access to voices that would remind you what's actually true? Dr. John Krotz, Pastor Brad Bickney, Dr. Adam Tyson, Jason Lyle, Dr. Andrew Walker, Libby Gloss, Dr. Greg Gifford, and others, all on Fortis Plus, where you're going to find hundreds of hours of content and new stuff being added daily. Absolutely free. Look, you're already reaching for your phone first thing in the morning anyway. Why not make it count? Download Fortis Plus right now and start your day with truth instead of trash. It's free, it's biblical, and it's exactly what you need to stand strong in this brave new world. Fortis Plus at fortisplus.org.
Know your church fathers. Clement of Alexandria was an apologist in the late 2nd century. He ran a school in Alexandria, Egypt, where he instructed new converts and trained Christian apologists. He taught that only Christianity, with its revelation from God in the Bible, has the answers regarding creation, good and evil, and salvation.
This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
You do not need to live in the state. Hold on! Breaking news! Breaking news! This is Wretched Radio. We have an inside source. Back to the letter that we received from a wretched person who described what happened at City's Church on Sunday. One invader was walking up and down the aisles of seats, recording himself, insulting and deriding the churchgoers, mocking our pastor and our faith. I, writes this individual, think it was wise for the men of City's Church to have self-restraint. I'm not saying that physical force should never be used, but in this case, it was best that the violence was not escalated. That is the take of an individual who had to live through this picnic. Sorry. Protest. I'm sorry. Invasion of their church on Sunday morning. Has your church had a conversation about what you would do if this happens to you? And I'm afraid it could. In fact, was just I could probably find it on my cell phone, was sent a picture. This is in northern Forsyth. In northern Georgia. We're talking about you're in a place where you can see the mountains and you can hear the banjos playing, okay? And there was a car that had a handmade sign, and it had the words ICE all over it. And it had ICE all crossed out. And then it had this written: "We the people are stronger than the people in power." Then it had this sign, the big handwritten sign: "Liberty and justice for all." That's in Georgia. You don't expect that type of advertising. In other words, this could happen anywhere. Are you ready? Back to the article from Joe Carter, walking through what your church could do. Please note, I'm not suggesting what your church should do. Our church is going to have a conversation about it. We already are. What we do on Sunday if this happens to us. This was a helpful article. I don't think Joe was trying to be definitive either. This is intended to help us think through it, knowing the legality first. Is church a public space where anyone may protest? The answer to that is no. It's private property. Supreme Court rulings have upheld. You can't just barge in to a place that is owned by somebody. Now, you can have this argument about a public property, a library, a government building, private property. Your protest rights stop at the door. You can do it out on the side, on the public sidewalk, not on the private property sidewalk, but on the public sidewalk. You need to know as a church, you have legal rights. When does protest become unlawful inside of a church? Well, I don't think a protest belongs inside of a church ever. So that quibble with word selection aside, protest typically becomes unlawful when it involves disruption, refusal to comply with lawful instructions, or interference with religious worship. That's exactly what happened Sunday morning at City's Church. He continues, examples of commonly recognized in law include interrupting a worship service, shouting or chanting during prayer or preaching, blocking aisles or access points, refusing to leave when asked by church leadership, and attempting to seize microphones or approach the platform. I don't know that they attempted to seize any microphones, but they did disrupt. They were marching in the aisles. They were yelling. They were shouting. They were terrorizing children. They were scared of these people. At that point, the aforementioned descriptors, the issue is no longer political disagreement, but becomes a legal issue. In other words, trespassing or disorderly conduct. There's a better word choice than protest. What federal laws protect churches from disruption? Think FACE, F-A-C-E, It's the FACE Act. You should just remember FACE. You have the legal right to assemble without disruption. Churches and aggrieved individuals can also bring civil suits seeking injunctive relief, compensatory and punitive damages, and attorney's fees. If you were City's Church, would you pursue those? I just read the statement that they posted from City's Church stating, "Hey, government, do your job." Furthermore, they are consulting with attorneys to determine the legal course of action. I think they have decisions, big decisions to make. I would never, from this vantage point, drop in and say, "This is what you should do." City's Church is a very good church. Even a bad church, I think, out of bounds to tell the elders what to be doing in a particular situation. What would you do if you were an elder and you had to work through this? Are we going to sue them? Are we going to hire a publicity agent to get us on Fox News and on, well, they probably wouldn't put him on MSNBC. The point is, they could do a lot to potentially bring attention to this, to hopefully get our government to do what they are assigned to do by God. What would you do if you were an elder? Be praying for those elders up at City Church. Is asking someone to leave a church a violation of religious freedom? Here's the long, complicated answer. No, it's not. You're not violating their religious freedom. You're exercising yours, which makes this bonkers. Should pastors personally confront protesters during the service? Now, again, this is from Joe Carter's article, and he also took some of this from Brotherhood Mutual Insurance, who protects churches with insurance and gives them some helps as to how to deal with situations like this. Should a pastor confront protesters? Joe says generally no. And he writes this: pastors are shepherds, not security officers. I would say actually a shepherd is a security officer for the sheep. He has a staff. He does defend the sheep from being devoured by wolves, both the actual and the metaphorical. So I'm not so sure. But the question I think that is at the base of this is, should security, the pastor, any of them, get tough, get intimidating back, try to be more forceful, try to be aggressive with them? As I stand here at the moment, I tip toward, I don't think so. Now, what if these individuals who have broken in to the church for the sake of disruption start to like bump people, push them? Then the men get involved. We defend people, especially women and children. If they get violent, if they are waving firearms, that's when the security team absolutely kicks it in. So I agree with the anonymous individual who wrote to us about what happened at City's Church. There might be a time for that, but I think until they start to be physically aggressive, we've got to be a witness here. We've got to be a testimony. We don't have to be complete pushovers. We see that Paul ran. We see that Jesus warned, it's going to be dangerous out there, take a sword. So those things aren't off the table. It seems that maybe they should be considered this is our last resort, as opposed to, bow up, boys, and as soon as they step in that door, we're going to teach them a lesson or two. I remember seeing this, by the way, when a couple of pastors, no longer qualified to be pastors, when they came to the, it was Truth, was it the Truth, Shepherd, Strange Fire, whatever it was, it was James McDonald and Mark Dever. Mark, what's the name of the tough guy in Arizona? At any rate, they kind of came to make a ruckus. I saw the security treat them so graciously, and it just de-escalated everything. Back to the article. Confrontation during worship can escalate rather than resolve the situation. According to Brotherhood Mutual Insurance and other church safety experts, best practice is for the pastor to continue the service if possible while trained volunteers or designated leaders handle the situation, with law enforcement contacted if the disruption persists. This approach protects the congregation and prevents the pulpit from becoming a stage for conflict. Now think of John Calvin, when those who broke in, these dissenters who were wanting to live less than godly lives, wanted to take communion. What did skinny John Calvin do? He fell on the table to protect the elements. Kill me first. What will your church do? I think calling the police immediately is wise. Immediately let them sort it. And then remember this, as this is going down and you're implementing your plan and there can be lots of scary stuff going on, we need to remember that our master promised this is going to happen. It's not a maybe, it's a when. You will be persecuted. And what did our good shepherd say about those of us who are persecuted? You're blessed. Blessed. This is Wretched Radio.